This is Audible.
Brilliance Audio presents the unabridged recording of Iced, a Danny O'Malley novel by Karen Marie Mona, performed by Natalie Ross and Phil Giganti. For Alex, my hero. Part 1. Music is the stuff of the cosmos. Imagine a world without melody of any kind. No birds singing, no crickets chirping, no tectonic plates shifting. It really is all about the fat lady singing, if she stops. The Book of Rain. Prologue. Dublin, you had me at hello. Imagine a world that doesn't know its own rules. No cell phones, no internet, no stock market, no money, no legal system. A third of the world's population wiped out in a single night, and the count rising by millions every day. The human race is an endangered species. A long time ago, the Fae destroyed their world and decided to take ours. History says they moved in on us between 10,000 and 6,000 BC, but historians get a lot wrong. Jericho Baron says they've been here since the dawn of time. He should know, because I'm pretty sure he has, too. For a long time, there was a wall between our worlds. With the exception of a few cracks, it was a solid barricade, especially the prison that held the Unseelie. That barricade is gone now, and the prison walls are dust. All of the Fae are free, the deadly Dark Court and the imperious Light Court, who are every bit as deadly, just prettier. A Fae is a Fae. Never trust one. We're being hunted by voracious monsters that are nearly impossible to kill. Their favorite food? People! As if that's not bad enough, there are fragments of fairy reality drifting around that swallow up anything in their path. They're tricky to spot. You can drive right into one if you're not careful. The night the walls fell, the world. The drifting is the part that really gets me. You can go to sleep in your own bed and wake up in a completely different reality. If you're lucky, the climate won't kill you instantly, and the inhabitants won't eat you. If you're really, really lucky, you'll find your way home, eventually. If you're super lucky, time will pass at a normal rate while you're gone. Nobody's that lucky. Folks vanish all the time. They just disappear and are never seen again. Then there are the amorphous shades that lurk in the dark, and consume every living thing in their path, right down to the nutrients in the soil. When they're done, all that's left is dirt that an earthworm couldn't live in. Not that they leave those either. It's a minefield outside that door. Walk lightly. Your parents' rules don't apply. Do be afraid of the dark. And if you're thinking there might be a monster under your bed or in your closet, there probably is. Get up and check. Welcome to planet Earth. This is our world now, one that doesn't know its own rules. And when you've got a world that doesn't know its own rules, everything dark and nasty that was once held in check comes slithering out of the cracks to try to take a shot at whatever it wants. It's a free-for-all. We're back to being cavemen. Might is right. Possession is 9/10 of the law. The bigger and badder you are, the better your odds of surviving. Get a gun, or learn to run. Fast. Preferably both. Welcome to Dublin, AWC, after the wall crash, where we're all fighting for possession of what's left of the planet. The Fae have no king, no queen, no one in charge. Two psychotic, immortal Unseelie princes battle for dominion over both races. Humans have no government. Even if we did, I doubt we'd listen to them. It's complete chaos. I'm Danny Mega O'Malley. I'm 14. The year was just officially declared 1 AWC, and the streets of Dublin are my home. It's a war zone out there. No 2 days are alike. And there's no place else I'd rather be. 1. Ding dong, the witch is dead. Subtitled, Rowena Who? I say we take Mac's suggestion and pump the room full of concrete. Val says. I wince. Just hearing her name makes my stomach hurt. Me and Mac used to be two peas in the megapod, closest sisters. She'd kill me in a heartbeat now. Well, she'd try. I'm faster. Exactly how do you expect us to get concrete trucks down into the catacombs beneath the abbey? Kat demands. To say nothing of how much it would take to seal that chamber. It's 3 times the size of Inspector Jane's train in green, with a ceiling as high as any cathedral. I shift position, tucking my knees up, careful to be real quiet. My legs are cramped from sitting with them crossed beneath me. I'm in the cafeteria at the Abbey, high up on a beam in the ceiling rafters, where nobody can see me, munching a Snickers bar and eavesdropping. It's one of my favorite perches for scoping out the details. I'm a good climber, fast and agile. Since I'm still just a kid, in most people's opinions, folks rarely let me in on the scoop. No worries there. I became a pro at letting myself in years ago. What are you suggesting we do then, Kat? Marjorie says. Leave the most powerful unseelie prince ever created frozen in a little ice cube beneath our home? That's crazy. The cafeteria is full of she-seers. Most of them murmur agreement, but they're like that. Whoever's talking loudest at the moment is the person they agree with. Sheep. Half the time I'm spying. It's all I can do not to jump down there, waggle my ass and say, bah, see if any of them catch my drift. I've been at the Abbey most of the night, waiting for people to wake up and wander in for breakfast, impatient for those who've been up all night like me to tell everyone else the news and start discussing it. I don't need as much sleep as other people, but when I do finally crash, I'm as good as dead. It's dangerous to lose consciousness as hard as I do, so I'm always careful about where I sleep. Behind a lot of locked doors, with booby traps in place. I know how to take care of myself. I've been on my own since I was 8. It's hardly an ice cube, Kat says. The Unseelie King himself imprisoned Cruz. You saw the bars shoot up from the floor around him. I've got no family. When my mom was killed, Ro made me move into the Abbey with the other she-seers, those of us who can see the Fae, and could even before the walls fell. Some of us have unique gifts, too. We used to think of ourselves in terms of us and them, humans and Fae, until we learned that the Unseelie King tampered with us way back, mixing his blood with the bloodlines of 6 ancient Irish houses. Some say we're tainted, that we have the enemy within. I say anything that makes you stronger, duh, makes you stronger. The alarm's not set, Marjorie counters. And none of us can figure out how to arm the grid that keeps people from getting in. Worse, we can't even get the door closed. Muck tried for hours. I don't puke the bite of chocolate and peanuts I'm trying to swallow, but it's close. I got to get over my reaction to her name. Every time I hear it, I see the look on her face when she learned the truth about me. Feck that. I knew what would happen if she found out I killed her sister. Got no business being mopey about it. If you know what's coming, and don't do anything to stop it, you got no right to act all surprised and pissy when the crap hits the fan. Rule number 1 in the universe? The crap always hits the fan. It's the nature of crap. It's a fan magnet. She said it won't respond to her, Marjorie says. She thinks the king did something to it. Barons and his men tried to muscle it closed, but no luck. It's stuck open. Just anyone can wander in, says Colleen. We found the Meehan twins standing down there this morning, hands around the bars, staring up at him like he was some kind of angel. And what were you doing down there this morning? Kat says to Colleen. Colleen looks away. Tainted blood or not, I've got no complaints about being a she-seer. I've got the best gifts of all. None of the other she-seers know how to deal with me. I'm super fast, super strong, have super hearing, super smell, and wicked sharp eyesight. I don't know if I taste better or not. Since I can't taste with anyone else's tongue, I guess I'll never know. The super fast part is the best. I can whiz through a room without people even seeing me. If they feel the breeze of me passing, they usually blame it on an open window. I open windows everywhere I go. It's my camo. If you walk into a room with a lot of open windows, look sharp at breezes that seem contrary to what's coming in from the outside. That's because he looks like an angel, Tara says. Tara Lynn, don't you go there for even a second, Kat says sharply. Cruz would have destroyed us all if he'd thought he had something to gain by it, and that was before he read the book and absorbed its power. Now he is the Shisadu, the darkest, most twisted magic of the Fey race. Have you forgotten what it did to Barb? Don't you remember how many people the book massacred when it didn't have a body? Now it has one, and it's beneath our abbey. And you think it looks like an angel? That it's pretty? Have you lost your mind? I wasn't beneath the catacombs last night, so I didn't get to see what happened with my own eyes. I'd been keeping a distance from that person whose name I'm not saying. I heard what happened, though. It's all anyone's talking about. Dude, Vlaine is Cruz. He isn't even Seelie. He's the worst of all the Unseelie princes. I can hardly believe it. I had the wickedest crush on him. I thought he was the one who was going to save us all, fighting the good fight, on the human side of the war. Turns out he was war, literally, as in the Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse's war, riding alongside his three Unseelie prince brothers, death, pestilence, and famine. Sure enough, our myths were right. When they wrote our world again, everything went straight to hell. Nobody even knew he was alive. Cruz was supposed to have been killed 750,000 years ago. Instead, he was masquerading as Vlaine all that time, disguising himself with glamour, infiltrating the Seelie court, manipulating events, orchestrating the prime opportunity to take what he wanted, dominion over both races. Fae have patience like beaches have sand. Of course, I guess patient is easy to be when you live like for feckin' ever. I also heard he was one of the four who raped Ma that person whose name I'm not thinking, that day at the church when the Lord Master turned the princes loose on her. And I'd told him I was going to give him my virginity one day. He'd brought me chocolates, been all flirty flirty. Vlaine is Cruz. Dude! Sometimes that's all you can say. Tara holds Kat's glare defiantly. That doesn't mean I want to set him free. I'm just saying he's beautiful. Nobody can argue with that. He has wings like an angel. He is beautiful, and we have big, big problems. I went down to the catacombs last night, the instant everyone finally cleared out. I made my way through the underground maze until I found the chamber that once held the Shisadu, and still holds it, just in another skin. Vlaine doesn't look like Vlaine anymore. He's sealed in the center of a block of ice, surrounded by a cage of glowing bars. His head is back, his eyes are iridescent fire. He's roaring, and his enormous black velvet wings are spread wide. Brilliant tattoos snake beneath skin that shimmers like gold dust. And he's naked. If I hadn't seen other penises in movies, I'd be worried about losing my virginity. Black wings, Tara, Kat says. As in black magic, as in deadly. He was dangerous before. He's a thousand times worse now. The king never should have let him read the whole book. He should have stopped him. Max said the king didn't want to leave the Shisadu split up, says Colleen. He was worried we wouldn't be able to keep it locked down in two places. I dig around in a pocket of the backpack I always got over my shoulder. You never know what you might need when, and I'm always on the go, and pull out another Snickers bar. There's that feckin' name again. Eating soothes the bruise I'm getting from repeated sucker punches to my belly. We couldn't keep it locked down when it was in only one place, Cat says. Because Rowena let it out, Val says. I learned that part of the story earlier this morning, listening to She-Seers talking in the showers. When the Shisadu took possession of Rowena last night, that person I'm not naming killed her. But not before Ro bragged about how she set the Shisadu free. And still, some folks are talking about having a service for the old bat. I say the Grand Mistress of the She Sheep is dead. Who feckin' raw? Break out the cake and party hats. It weakened Rowena, Kat says. Rowena was born weak, power-hungry witch. Maybe Cruz will weaken us, Kat says. a plasterous sigh around a bite of candy bar and swallow it. The new temporary leader of the Abbey and interim Grand Mistress of She-Seers around the world just made a big mistake. I learned a thing or two from that unnamed person when we used to hang together. She-sheep need a firm hand. Not firm like Rose, which was bullying, belittling, and tyrannical, but firm in a way that doesn't make the herd stampede. Fear and doubt are major stampeders. Cat should have said something like, what a good thing it was they were all so much stronger than Rowena. Even a kid can see what's going on in the room down there. The She-Seers are afraid. Rowena is dead. Dublin is a riot-ravaged mess filled with monsters. One of the good guys turned out to be the bad guy. Their lives changed too quickly in too many ways for them to deal with. They're easy targets, to be swayed by the most persuasive, strongest leader. And that means Cat needs to become one. Fast. Before somebody a lot less capable and kind does. Somebody like Marjorie, who's even now watching the crowd through narrowed eyes, like she's got a thermometer up its butt taking its temperature. She's a year older than Cat, and was part of Rose's inner circle when the old witch was alive. She's not going to put up with a changing of the guard that doesn't include her. She'll make trouble every chance she gets. I hope Cat knows how treacherous she can be. Anyone that was ever close to Ro for longer than, like, 1 second has something seriously scary about her. I know. I was closest to her of all. She-sheep politics. Dude, I hate them. They tangle you up like sticky spider webs. I love living on my own. Still, I miss the Abbey every now and then. Especially when I think about them baking cookies and stuff. Hearing voices in the background when you doze is nice. Knowing even if you are misunderstood, you aren't totally alone in the world isn't the worst thing. Cat's right. The Shisadu we used to have locked up and magicked down beneath our abbey is nothing compared to what we've got under our floorboards now. The problem is, it doesn't look like the Shisadu anymore. All of the darkest magic and power of the Fey race is no longer trapped between the covers of a book. It's in the body of a Fey prince, in all his naked winged glory. And if you've never seen a Fey prince before, that's one jaw-dropping, eye-popping, mind-scrambling amount of glory. It's only a matter of time before somebody sets him free. Cat hasn't even made her way around to the killer critical fact yet. Lots of people know he's down there now, crammed to the gills with every last bit of the deadly magic of the Fey race. I know people. I've seen all the shapes and sizes that come in. Somebody's going to be stupid enough to believe they can control him. Somebody's going to find a way through that ice. Jericho Barons is only one of a lot of different folks that hunted the She-Seer for thousands of years. None of them ever knew where it was. If they had, they'd have descended on our abbey back in the Dark Ages, when a rough-piled, round stone tower was all that concealed the entrance to our underground city. And they would have pulled it, stone from stone, into rubble until they got what they came for. Now a whole bunch of humans and Fae know exactly where the most powerful weapon ever created is being stored. Folks talk. Soon the whole world is going to know it's here. I snort, imagining hordes descending on us, rioting, raging, brandishing weapons. Stupid she-sheep, too busy squabbling about the best way to fight back, to get around to fighting back. I sigh. Cat glances up. I stop breathing, hug my knees tight to my chest, and stay perfectly still. After a moment, Cat shakes her head and goes back to the conversation. I sigh again, but softer. She just made her second mistake. Confronted by something she couldn't explain, she pretended it wasn't there. Dude, ostrich much? Oh yeah, just a matter of time. I'll wait a few minutes for things to get heated again, take advantage of the commotion, and freeze frame out. I love moving the way I do. I can't imagine life any other way. Whenever something is bugging me, all I need to do is zoom around the city, spy on all the slow-mo Joes trudging through, and I instantly feel a million times better. I've got the coolest gig in the world. I'm a superhero. Until recently, I was the only one I knew of. According to my mom, I didn't make the normal toddler transition from crawling to walking. I went from lolling on my back, counting pudgy toes and cooing happily while she changed my diapers. I've never seen any reason to cry when someone is cleaning poop off you, to what she initially thought was teleporting. One second I was on the living room floor, the next I'd vanished. She was afraid the fae had taken me. They used to do that to she-seers if they discovered them, until she heard me rummaging around in the pantry, trying to get a jar of baby food open. It was creamed corn. I remember. I still love creamed corn. Not much fuel power there, though. I burned through the punch of sugar energy in no time. I never got to go to school. You don't want to know how she kept me from leaving the house. There aren't many options with a kid who can move faster than you can blink, and none of them are PC. I'm not the only superhero in Dublin anymore, which annoys the feckety feck out of me, but I'm slowly coming around to seeing it might be a good thing. I was getting complacent, and that turns into sloppy if you're not careful. Bored, too. It's not much fun always being the best and fastest. A little competition keeps you on your toes, makes you try harder, live larger. I'm all about that, living large. I want to go out in a blaze of glory while I'm young. I don't want to break piece by piece, lose my mind and die wrinkly and old. Given the current state of our world, I'm not sure any of us have to worry about that anymore. Top of my list of dudes to beat are Jericho Barons and his men. Like me, they're super fast and super strong. Much as I hate to admit it, they're faster. But I'm working on it. Barons can pluck me right out of thin air. Dude, why isn't it thick air? The things people say. Well, I'm freeze-framing, which is what I call the way I get around. I start at point A, lock down a mental snapshot of everything around me, hit the gas, and in a blink I'm at point B. It's only got a couple of downsides. One, I'm constantly bruised from running into things at top speed, because some of the things I lock down on my mental grid aren't stationary, like people and animals and fae. Two, freeze-framing requires a ton of food for fuel. I have to eat constantly. That's a pain in the butt collecting and carrying that much food. If I don't eat enough, I get limp and wobbly. That's pathetic. I'm a gas tank that's either full or empty. There's no half tank with me. You know those movies where folks wear rounds of ammo in their body? I wear protein bars and Snickers. At least once a night I whiz over to Chester's, Dublin's underground hotspot for partying and scoring whatever your fantasy is, and angling for a shot at immortality, owned and operated by Baron's go-to dude, Riordan, and I start killing every fae hanging around outside it. It usually takes all of 5 seconds for his men to show up, but I can do a lot in 5 seconds. Chester's is a safe zone. Killing fae is prohibited there, no matter what they do, and they do some sick stuff. Killing humans, however, isn't prohibited at Chester's. That's a major issue with me, so I keep giving Riordan grief, and I'm not about to stop. One of these nights, I'm going to be faster than him, faster than all of them. Then I'm going to slay every fae in Chester's. Second on my list of competition are the fae I hunt. Some of them can teleport. They call it sifting. I don't understand the physics of it. I just know it's faster than freeze-framing, which would worry me more if I didn't have the Sword of Light, one of two weapons that can exterminate their immortal asses, so they leave me alone for the most part. She who isn't getting named has the other weapon, the spear. My stomach hurts again. As I peel open a protein bar, I decide to start thinking of her as that person, abbreviated to TP. Then maybe my mind will slide over thoughts of TP without hitching and kicking me in the stomach. Last are the Unseelie Princes. There used to be four. Cruz is out of the picture for now. Two are at large in Dublin, no longer under the Lord Master's rule, which makes them way more dangerous than they used to be. They've begun fighting with each other and are striking out on their own. There's major trouble coming from those two. Not only can they sift, just looking at them makes you weep blood. And if you have sex with them? Well, don't. Enough said. Already cults are forming around them. Sheep are always looking for a new shepherd when the terrain gets rocky. I don't test myself against the princes. I keep my distance. I sleep with my sword in my hand. I shower with it. I never let anyone else touch it. I love my sword. It's my best friend. I killed the other Unseelie Prince. I'm the only person who ever has. Danny Mega O'Malley slayed an Unseelie Prince. God, I love it. Only problem is, now the two that are left have a wicked hate on for me. I'm hoping they'll be too busy fighting with each other to come after me. My life consists mainly of watching my city, keeping tabs on all that's changing. I love knowing the details, spreading the important news around. I don't know what Dublin will do without me. I run a newspaper called the Danny Daily that I put out 3 times a week. Sometimes I'll do a special edition if something big comes up. I collect messages at what's left of the general post office from folks who are having problems with Tough to Kill Fay. I like to swoop in and save the day. I take my beat seriously, like Inspector Jane and the guardians who patrol the streets at night. Dublin needs me. I'm not about to let her down. I just published my first book, Danny Does Dublin, The ABCs of the AWC. Dancer helps me print and distribute it. The reviews have been great. The only problem is, whenever I learn new stuff, which is like constantly, I have to put out a revised edition. I'm on the 5th already. Some of the folks I help are real basket cases, afraid of their own shadow. I can tell just by looking at them they won't survive long. It makes me sad, but I do all I can. I decide to pop over to the general post office now, see if anybody left notes for me. I polish off my protein bar in 2 gulps and pocket the wrapper. Don't know why I can't bring myself to litter, considering the streets are covered with debris from the riot the night Dublin fell, but adding to it feels wrong. I narrow my eyes, look down the street as far as I can see, plot each obstacle on my mental grid until it all snaps into place. Abandoned cars with open doors just waiting to slam me if I'm off by an inch. Street lamps ripped from the pavement with chunks of concrete attached at the base, and strips of metal sticking out that are going to kill my shins if I'm not careful. Tables flung through pub windows blocking the sidewalks. You get the idea. I take a breath and give in, set that she-seer place in my head free, and slide into a different way of being. Ro used to try to get me to explain it to her, like maybe she could figure out how to do it if she tried hard enough. The best I can come up with is this. It's like picking your whole self up mentally and shoving it sideways till suddenly you're just something else. I shift Danny gears, I guess. The rush is mega intense, and, well, I can't imagine life without it because there's no such thing as life without it. I do it now, shift hard and fast, and then I'm whole and free and perfect. Wind in my hair, freeze framing. Can't even feel my feet because I've got wings on them. I scrunch up my face in concentration and push harder, faster. Every nanosecond is going to count if I'm going to beat. I slam into a wall. Where the fuck did that come from? How could I have missed it on my grid? My whole face is numb and I can't see. The impact snaps me out of freeze framing and sends me into a blind stumble. When I finally get my balance, I'm still not able to focus. I hit the wall so hard it temporarily blinded me. My face is going to be black and blue for days, eyes swollen to slits. How embarrassing. I hate walking around with all my mistakes on my face, right there for anybody to see. I waste precious seconds trying to recover, and all I can think is, good thing it was a wall, not an enemy. I'm a sitting duck right now, and it's my own fault. I know better than to lead with my head when I'm freeze-framing. You can kill yourself that way. The body can take a much harder impact than the face. You'll drive your nose up into your brain if you're not careful. Sloppy mega, I mutter. I still can't see. I wipe my bloody nose on my sleeve and reach out to feel what I hit.
That's my dick,
Ryden says. I snatch my hand away. Gah! I choke out. I can feel my face again because, like, it's going up in flames. What kind of universe makes me reach out at exactly that fecking level to feel what I think is a wall and puts my hand on a penis? Then I remember this is Riordan and scowl. You did that on purpose, I accuse. You saw my hand go out and you stepped right into it.
I'd do that, why, kid?
Riordan has the most infuriating way of asking questions without the proper inflection at the end. His voice doesn't rise at all. I don't know why it annoys me so much. It just does. To embarrass me and make me feel stupid. Always angling for the advantage, aren't you? Riordan makes me totally crazy. I can't stand him.
Sloppy is an understatement,
Riordan says.
I could have killed you. Pull your head out, kid. Watch where you're going.
My vision is finally starting to clear. I was watching, I say pissily. You stepped into my way. I look up at him. Dude is tall. The only street lamp that works is smack behind his head, casting his face in shadow. But that's the way he likes it. I swear he stages every place he goes in order to keep the light at his back for some reason. He's wearing that faint half-smile he usually has on, as if he's perpetually amused by us lesser mortals. I am not a lesser mortal, I say testily.
Didn't say you were. In fact, it's precisely because you're not lesser that you're on my radar.
Well, get me off it.
Can't.
I get a sinking feeling. Not too long ago, Riordan tracked me down where I was hanging out up on top of my favorite water tower and told me he had a job for me. I refused, of course. Since then, I've been telling myself he filled whatever vacancy he had with someone else. I don't want to fall in with Riordan and his men. I get the feeling you don't ever get to fall back out. You just keep falling. Of course, that doesn't stop me from snooping around Chester's. You have to know your competition, know what they're up to. Dude wants something from me. I want to know what. Last week, I found a back way into his club that I bet nobody but me and his men know about. I think they thought it was so well hidden, they didn't need to bother protecting it. Did I ever see some things? My face gets hot again remembering.
I've been waiting for you to report for work, Danny. You must have encountered a problem I don't know about.
Report for work, my ass. I don't answer to anyone. The way he says that last part makes it sound like he's been keeping major tabs on me and knows every problem I have and don't have. I'll say this one more time. Never going to happen.
You don't understand. I'm not giving you a choice.
You don't understand. I'm taking it. You're not the boss of me.
You better hope I am, kid, because you're a risk in my city. And there are only two ways I deal with uncontrolled variables. One of them is to offer you a job.
The look he gives me makes it clear I don't want to know what the second option is. I wipe more blood from my nose and puff myself up. Thought it was Baron City, I say. He ignores my jibe.
A risk I won't take. You're too fast, too strong, and too stupid.
There's nothing stupid about me. I am fast and strong, though. I preen. Best of the best. Danny Mega O'Malley. That's what they call me. The Mega. Nobody's got nothing on me.
Sure they do. Wisdom. Common sense. The ability to differentiate between a battle worth fighting and the posturing of adolescent hormones.
Gah! I don't posture. I don't have to. I'm the real thing. 100% superhero. Riordan knows just how to get under my skin, but I'm not giving him the satisfaction of showing it. Hormones don't interfere with my thought processes, I say coolly. And as feckin' if my adolescent hormones are any different than yours. Talk about the pot calling the kettle black. After my clandestine visit last week, I know a thing or two about Riordan.
You're human. Hormones will undermine you at every turn. And you're way too young to know shit about me.
I'm not too young to know anything. I know you and the other dudes are all sex all the time. I saw those women you keep. I clamped my mouth shut.
You saw?
Nothing. Didn't see nothing. I don't slip often. At least, I didn't used to. But things are weird lately. My mood changes like a chameleon in a kaleidoscope. I get touchy and end up saying things I shouldn't. Especially when someone keeps calling me kid and ordering me around. I'm unpredictable, even to myself. It bites.
You've been on level 4.
His eyes are scary. Then again, this is Riordan. His eyes are scary a lot. What's level 4? I say innocently, but he's not buying it for a minute. Level 4 is like something out of a porn movie. I know. I was watching a lot of them until recently. until somebody who doesn't give one little tiny ounce of crap about me read me the riot act. Like TP cared. It's stupid to think just because somebody yells at you like they worry about how you're growing up and who you're becoming that they care about you. He smiles. I hate it when he smiles.
Kid, you're flirting with death.
You'll have to catch me first. We both know it's empty bravado. He can. He locks gazes with me. I refuse to look away, even though it feels like he's sifting through my retinal records, reviewing everything I've seen. Long seconds pass. I notch up my chin, shove a hand in my jeans pocket, and cock my hip. Jaunty, flippant, bored, my body says. Casey's not getting the message from the look on my face.
I felt a breeze in the private part of my club last week,
he says finally.
Somebody passing by fast. I thought it had to be Fade not wanting to be seen for some reason, but it wasn't. It was you. Not cool, Danny. Way not cool. Am I speaking your language well enough to penetrate that rock-hard, suicidal adolescent head of yours?
I roll my eyes. Gah! Oh, dude, please don't try to talk like me. My ears will fall off. I flash him a cocky, 100-megawatt grin. It's not my fault you can't focus on me when I pass. And what's with all this adolescent bunk? I know how old I am. You the one needs reminding. Is that why you keep throwing it at me like some kind of insult? It isn't, you know. 14 is on top of the world. The next thing I know, he's in my space, swallowing it up. Barely leaving me room to be. I'm not about to stick around for it. I freeze frame around him. Or I try to. I crash, full frontal into him, smacking my forehead on his chin. Not hard, either. Freeze framing into him should have split my head again, not tickled like a stumble. I slam it into mega reverse. I succeed in backpedaling a pansy foot or two. I don't even make it out of arm's reach. What the feck? I'm so discombobulated by failure that I just stand there like an idiot. Until this precise moment, I wasn't even sure I knew how to spell the F word, much less do it. Fail, with a big fat F. Me. He grabs my shoulders and starts pulling me to him. I don't know what he thinks he's doing, but I'm not getting anywhere near close to Ryden. I explode into a Danny grenade, all fists and teeth and 10 kinds of you don't want to hold me when the pin is out. At least I try to. I needle off one limp punch before I stop myself, so I won't telegraph any more catastrophic news to a dude that doesn't miss a trick, and won't hesitate to use any weakness against me. What the fuck is wrong with me? Did slamming into him do something to me? Like break me? Super speed. Gone. Super strength. Gone. I'm as weak as a Joe and, ew, stuck in Riordan's arms. Close. Like we're about to slow dance or get all kissy. Dude, you like me or something? Get off me! He looks down at me. I can see the mind working behind his eyes. I don't like Riordan's mind working when he's looking at me.
Fight, kid.
I tilt my nose up at a defiant angle. Jut my jaw at my best feck you slant. Maybe I don't feel like it. You said there's no point. You keep telling me how large and in charge you are.
Never stopped you before.
Maybe I don't want to break a nail. I toss out all nonchalant-like, to cover up that I just tried fighting, and fleeing. And for the first time in, well, ever, I'm norm... The word sticks like a hard, spiky burr in the back of my throat. I can't cough it up. I can't swallow it. It's okay. I don't need to be able to say it. It's not true. It never will be. I've never been that word. It's not part of my reality. I probably just forgot to eat enough. I take a hasty mental tally of my fuel consumption over the past few hours. 11 protein bars, 3 cans of tuna, 5 cans black beans, 7 Snickers. Okay, so my menu's coming up a little light, but not enough to drain my gas tank. I step on the freeze frame pedal again. I still don't move. Motionless is me. That and way freaked out. He's holding my hand, looking at my short nails that TP painted black the night she found out the truth about me. I don't know why I haven't taken it off yet. It chips like crazy in no time with all the fighting I do.
You don't have nails to break. Try again.
Let go of my hand.
Make me.
Before I can snap off a pithy, brilliant reply, my head is back. My spine is arched like a bow, and Ryan's face is in my neck. He bites me! The fecker bites me! Right on the neck! Fangs bracket my jugular. I feel them, sharp and deep, sinking into me. It hurts. Riordan does have fangs. I didn't imagine what I thought I saw on the rooftop the other night when he was telling me he had a job for me. What the fuck you doing? You a vamp or something? You turning me? I'm horrified. I'm intrigued. How much stronger might I get? Are vampires real? Fairies are. I suppose that flings the closet door wide open. Everything's going to be springing out now. Does TP know about this? Is Baron's a vampire? What's going on here? Dude, my world just got so much more interesting. Suddenly, I'm staggering for footing, resisting nothing and looking like a drunken pinwheel doing it. It pisses me off, Ryan making me look clumsy in front of him. I wipe a smear of blood from my neck and glare at it. When was the last time somebody spilled my blood? Like, never? Sure, I'd bang myself up, but nobody else does. Not anymore. Bleeding? Clumsy? Slow? Who am I?
I know your taste now, kid. I know your scent like I know my own. You will never be able to pass me again without me knowing it's you. And if I ever catch you on the lower levels of Chester's, or anywhere in my club for that matter.
I jerk my glare from my hand to his face. He smiles at me. There's blood on his teeth. Fact, it's just wrong to be smiled at by someone who has your blood on his teeth. It offends to the bone. Where were his fangs? Did he have fangs? Natural or cosmetic implants. You never know with folks these days. They didn't retract with a smoothly audible snick like on TV, or I would have heard it. I have super hearing. Well, sometimes I do. Like when I also have super speed and super strength, which used to be all the time, until exactly now.
Don't let me.
His gaze does that unnerving, flickery thing it does sometimes. I think it's because he looks me up and down so quick that I can't focus on his eyes changing directions. I just see a kind of ocular shiver. I wonder if I can do it too. Super speed a single part of me. Like maybe tap a finger hyper fast. I need to practice. Assuming I can super speed again at all. What the fuck is wrong with me? Did I stall? How could I stall? I don't stall.
Unless you're working for me and there at my direction. That's the deal.
He's cold. Ice cold. And I know without him even saying what the second option is. Die. Work for me or die. It pisses me off big time. Are you giving me an ultimatum? Because that is so not cool. I don't emote disdain. I become disdain. I flash him number 17 of my 35 looks of death. Grown-ups. They see a teenager with a little more stuff going on than they know what to do with, so they try to lock them down, box them up, make them feel bad just for being what they are. Like I can even help it. Dancer's right. Adults are afraid of the kids they're raising. If growing up means turning out like you, I say, I'm never doing it. I know who I am and I like it. I'm not changing for anybody.
One day, kid, you'll be willing to mortgage your fucking soul for somebody.
I don't think you should say fucking around me. In case you forgot, I'm only 14. And newsflash, dude, I've got no soul. There aren't any banks, and there isn't any currency. Ergo, never going to happen.
I'm not sure you could be any more full of yourself.
I cut him a smug look. I'm willing to try. Ryden laughs. The instant he does, I flash back to what I saw on level 4 the other night. He was laughing then, too. The look on the woman's face, and the noise she was making when he did that thing he was doing. Gah! Old dude! Gross! What's wrong with me? He's looking at me hard. It makes me want to blink out of existence. Ryden looks at people different than anybody else I know. Like he has X-ray vision or something, and knows exactly what's happening inside people's skulls.
No mystery there, kid. If you live long enough, you do know what they're thinking.
He says.
Humans are predictable, cut from patterns, few evolve beyond them.
Huh? He did not just answer my thought. No fucking way.
I know your secret, Danny.
Got no secrets.
Despite all the swaggering you do, you don't want anybody to see you. Not really see you. Invisigirl. That's who you want to be. I wonder why.
I flip him off with both hands and freeze frame with everything I've got. It works this time. Fucking A. It's good to be me. Wind in my hair. Mega on the move. Leaps tall buildings in a single bound. Well, maybe that last part's a little exaggeration, but still. Zoom! I freeze frame through the streets of Dublin. When I slam into the next wall, it knocks me out cold. 2. Ice, ice, baby. Since I sleep like the dead, I come too hard. It doesn't matter whether I've fallen asleep or been knocked out. I'm always broody at first because I can't shake off slumber as fast as most folks. My dreams get tangled up with the real world, and it takes a while for them to melt away, like icicles dripping off gutters in the morning sun. Not this time. I come up from unconsciousness like a live wire, flat on my back one second, the next on all fours, then I've got my sword at Riordan's throat. He knocks it away. It flies out of my hand and crashes into the wall of his office. I lunge after it and crash into the wall myself. But who cares? My sword's in my hand again. I spine up to the wall, blade straight out in front of me, never taking my eyes off him, waiting for him to try to take it from me again. It's going through his heart if he does.
We can do this all day if you like,
he says. You knocked me out, I say through clenched teeth. I'm spitting mad. My face is throbbing and my teeth hurt. It's a wonder I have any left.
Correction. I got in your way. You knocked yourself out. I told you to watch where you're going.
You're faster than me. That means you're supposed to yield right of way.
Like we're cars. Cute. I don't yield. Ever.
He hooks a foot around a chair and kicks it toward me.
Sit.
Fuck you.
I'm stronger than you, faster than you, and like the human emotion that drives you. That makes me your worst nightmare. Sit, or I'll make you sit.
I can think of a couple worse, I mutter.
You want to play games. I don't think you'll like mine.
I think it over. I'm worried because of earlier when I stalled. What if it happens again and he figures it out? I'm double worried because he knocked me out cold, mid-freeze frame. It's obvious I can't escape if he doesn't want to let me go. I'm in Chester's, on his turf, with all his men in the vicinity. Even if Barons is around, he's not going to help me. I'm pretty sure TP has him hating me now. I take stock of the room. I've never been in his office before. LED screens serve as cove moldings, lining the entire perimeter of the ceiling, flashing from one zone to the next. From here, Riordan watches everything. I'm in the guts of his club. How'd I get here? There's only one possible answer. I'm just trying to buy more time to orient myself. Gingerly, I touch my nose, feel the tip. It's alarmingly bulbous and squishy.
I carried you.
It makes me so mad I almost can't breathe. He knocked me out, picked me up like a sack of potatoes, toted me through the streets of Dublin, and hauled me through the middle of all the skeevy folks and fairies that hang at Chester's. Probably with everybody staring at me and smirking. I haven't been helpless for a long time. Fact, he could do it again if he felt like it. Over and over. This dude standing in front of me could chain me down worse than anything my mom or Ro ever did to me. I decide the wisest thing is to humor him until he lets me leave. Then I'll eat everything I can get my hands on, test myself, make sure I'm working right. Hole up somewhere safe and lie low for a while. I'll spend my time in hiding, working on getting faster and stronger, so I never have to put up with a moment like this again. I thought these kind of days were gone for good. I sit. He doesn't look all smug like I would have. He gives me, like, a look of approval or something. Don't need your approval, I say irritably. Don't need anybody's.
Stay that way.
I scowl at him. I don't get Riordan at all. Why am I here? Why'd you bring me to Chester's? Get to the point, I got stuff to do. Busy schedule, you know. I'm in demand. I look around. The office is made of solid glass, walls, ceiling, and floor. Nobody can see in, but you can see out. It's freaky walking on a glass floor. Like the bottom's dropping out of your world with every step you take. Even sitting, you feel a kind of vertigo. I look down. There are acres of dance floor beneath me. The club has multiple tiers, maybe 100 subclubs on split levels, each with its own theme. Seely, unseely, and humans hang together and strike who knows what kind of deals. Here in post-war Dublin, anything you want can be had at Chester's, for a price. For a second, I forget he's there, fascinated by watching it all between my high-top sneakers. I could sit here for days, study stuff, get smarter, itemize every cast of Fae, spread the word around the city, what they are, how they can be defeated, or at least escaped from, or restrained until I can get there to kill them with my sword. That's a big part of the reason I've been so determined to get inside Chester's. How can I protect my city if I can't warn everyone about all its dangers? I've got a job to do. I need all the intel I can get. There's a seely male on the dance floor, blonde and beautiful like Blaine was before he dropped his glamour and revealed himself as an unseely. In the next sub-club over is a lower cast of dark fae that I've never seen before, shiny, wet, and segmented, with... Ew! The many segments are coming apart and scurrying off into 100 different directions like roaches. I hate roaches. They begin to disappear up people's pants legs. I pick my feet up off the floor and sit cross-legged on the chair.
You watch everything.
It's not a question, so I don't answer. I look at him, fold my arms and wait. There's that smile again. I poke out my lower lip defiantly. What am I? Like a walking joke to you? Why do you always smile when you look at me?
You'll figure it out.
He moves to his desk, opens a drawer, pulls out a sheet of paper and hands it to me.
Complete and sign this.
I take it and look at it. It's a job application. I give him a look. Dude, post-apocalyptic world, who does job applications anymore?
I do.
I squint at it, then him. What are you paying me? I angle.
Dude, post-apocalyptic world, who does money anymore?
I snicker. First sign of any sense of humor he's shown. Then I remember where I am and why. I wad it up and throw it at him. It bounces off his chest.
You're wasting time, kid. The sooner you do what I tell you, the sooner you can get out of here.
He goes to his desk, gets another and hands it to me with a pen. I relax. He plans to let me leave. Maybe even soon. I skim the application. It has the usual blanks. Name, address, date of birth, education, prior job history, places for signature and date. Fanciest application I've ever seen, with the name Chester's worked into an ornate border that frames the page. Everybody clings to something when the world melts down. I suppose Riordan likes having his business details all squared up, no matter the chaos at his door. It's not like it'll kill me to fill out the stupid thing, agree to do whatever he wants, then get the feck out of here and go into deep hiding. I sigh. Hiding. Me. I pine for the days when I was the only superhero in town. If I fill this out, you'll let me leave? He inclines his head. But I have to do some kind of job for you. He inclines his head again. If I do that job, are we through? For good? Just one job, right? I have to make this convincing or he'll figure out I plan to disappear. Once more, he gives me that imperial nod that's hardly a nod, like he's stooping to acknowledge my puny existence. I don't ask him what the job is, because I have no intention of ever doing it. I'm never going to be anyone's solution to folks' problems again. I crossed lines for Roe. Big lines. Deep lines. She's dead. I'm free. Life starts now. I study him. He's perfect stillness, with the light behind his face as usual, features in shadow. Cats get still like him. before they pounce. Something's going on here, bigger than I'm seeing. Oh, my face hurts. My eyes are puffy and the left one's trying to swell shut. You got any ice? I need to buy time to figure out what's going on. Plus, if he leaves for ice, I can snoop through his office. He gives me a look I've seen men do before, especially to women. Chin down, looking up from beneath his brows with a faintly mocking smile. There's something in that look I don't get, but the challenge is unmistakable.
Come here,
he says.
I'll heal you.
He's sitting behind his desk, watching me. Still, so still. It's like he's not even breathing. I look at him. I don't know what to make of him. Part of me wants to get up, go around that desk and find out what he's talking about. You could do that, make my bruises and cuts go away. I'm always beat up, and my muscles are constantly strained from overuse. Sometimes I burn through my shoes and scrape the skin right off my feet. It gets old.
I can make you feel better than you've ever felt in your life.
How?
There are some secrets, Danny O'Malley, that you learn only by participating.
I consider that. So, you got any ice? He laughs and presses a button on his desk.
Fade. Ice. Now. Got you, boss.
A few minutes later, I'm sitting with an ice pack on half my face, squinting around it to fill out Ryan's stupid application. I'm almost done and ready to sign when I get the strangest feeling in my hand, the one holding the page. It's my left hand, my sword hand, the one that turned black a little while ago, the night I stabbed a hunter through the heart and killed it. Or rather, the night I thought I killed a hunter. Truth is, I'm not actually sure I did, but I'm not about to print a retraction. The public needs to believe in certain things. When I went back to take pictures of it for the Danny Daily, to show folks, it was gone. Completely. Not a trace remained. Not a single drop of black blood anywhere. Baron says they can't be killed. After the incident, I thought I was going to lose my hand. My veins turned black, and my whole hand went cold as a block of ice. I had to wear a glove for days. Told the she-sheep I got poisoned sumac. Rare around these parts, but there used to be some. Don't know if the shades ate it all. Wonder if they did if they got itchy bellies inside. Now it's all tingly and weird. I study it, wondering what might go wrong with me next. Maybe stabbing the hunter did something to me. Maybe that's why I stalled. Maybe there are worse things on the horizon. That is so not me. Optimism is me. Tomorrow's my day. You never know what grand adventures wait around the next corner.
Kid, you going to sit there all day daydreaming or sign the fucking thing?
That's when I see it. I'm so stunned, my mouth opens and hangs there catching flies for a minute. I almost signed it. He must have been sitting over there, laughing his butt off inside, congratulating himself. My head snaps up. So, what exactly does the spell in the border of this thing do? I've never seen anything like it. And I've seen a lot of spells. Roe was a pro at them. Some really nasty ones. Now that I'm seeing it, I can't believe I missed it. Cleverly tucked into the ornate black border are shimmering shapes and symbols, slithering, in constant motion. One of them is trying to crawl off the page and onto my lap. I wad it up and throw it at him. Nice try. Not.
Ah, well. It was possible you would sign. It was the simplest solution.
He's completely unperturbed. I wonder, does anything shake him up? Make him lose his cool? Get hot about something? Scream and yell? I can't see it. I think Riordan glides through life in the same coolly amused mood all the time. What would it have done to me if I'd signed it? I ask. Curiosity. I have it in spades. Mom swore it was going to be the death of me. Something's got to be. There are worse things.
Some secrets.
Yeah, yeah, blah, blah, participating and all that bunk. Got it.
Good.
Didn't want to know anyway.
Yes, you did. You can't stand not knowing things.